the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. May Allah's peace be upon all of you. You are listening today's special from IRIB English Radio. Due to the proximity of the month of Muharram, we want to look at the way of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Hussein, you live forever
in our hearts.
Today, Saturday, is the 27th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of the month of Murdad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to a short commentary of some part of Ziyarat Ashura.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله وابن خيرته السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائه
Peace be upon you, O Abu Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Messenger of Allah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Commander of the Faithful, and the son of the leader of the inheritors of the Prophet. Peace be upon you, O son of Fatima, the leader of the women of the entire universe. Peace be upon you, O the one who was killed, and whose blood has not yet been avenged, and whose avenging is in the hands of Allah, and peace be upon you, the son of one who was killed and whose blood has not yet been avenged. That is Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. And peace be upon you, O the one who was alone, an individual killed. Peace be upon you, and also upon those souls who accompanied you to your annihilation.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
Salam is an infinitive noun commonly translated as peace. Its literal import, however, is to be free from calamities, whether apparent or hidden. Therefore, by saying Assalamu alaikum, in its innovative sense, we are seeking the state of freedom from every kind of calamity, whether apparent or hidden, for Imam al-Hussein. It is clear that the Imam alayhi salam already enjoys the state of salam and is in fact one of the manifestations of Allah's attribute, as-salam.
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein حسين الشهيد الشهيد الحسين حسين الغريب الغريب الحسين حسين الشهيد الشهيد الحسين
Now, the path of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, Karbala, is a constant source of inspiration and guidance. The story of Karbala has so many different dimensions to it. It's a story of revolution, freedom, reform, remembrance of Allah, steadfastness in faith in the wake of calamities, sacrifice of everything for the sake of Allah, and so on. Such a massive sacrifice that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam made in Karbala must be having a very great goal. The aims and goals of this great sacrifice cannot be small, but they must be significant enough that such a big sacrifice was made for them. The knowing of the aims of Karbala will help us in directing our efforts towards what Imam al-Hussein sought to propagate and protect. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the path of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We find that in the Islamic religion, third infallible Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has received a special status and position. It goes back to his being martyred, to the fact that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was martyred on the day of Ashura in Karbala. And among the infallible imams, the only imam who was inflicted with such a kind of tyranny, both in military terms and in terms of political pressure, was Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. There is a piece of hadith in that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is regarded as the rescue ship. We find that in seas and in oceans, when a ship receives any problem, there are some other ships, other rescue ships that move toward the ship that has been damaged and received a problem. In a piece of prophetic hadith, it's indicated that إن الحسين مصباح الهدى والسفينة النجاة. Certainly Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is the light of guidance, the torch of guidance, the light of guidance and the rescue ship. In yet another piece of hadith related from the 6th infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, it's indicated that كلنا سفن النجاة أما سفينة الحسين أسرع. All of us are rescue ships, but the ship of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam moves faster.
Do not say anything with your tongues which decreases from your value.
This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special. Why did Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam rise up? Imam Hussein's movement is indeed perceivable via two perspectives, both of which are acceptable. Nonetheless, when put together, the two views show the intensive dimensions of this movement. One perspective involves the appearance of Imam al-Hussein's action, which is movement against a corrupt, deviated, suppressive and oppressive regime, Yazid's regime. But at the heart of his action, there is a more important movement that the second perspective will lead to, the move against ignorance and humiliation of the mankind. In fact, even though Imam al-Hussein fights against Yazid, his extensive historical fight is not against the short, living and insignificant Yazid. Rather, his main fight is against mankind's ignorance, abasement, deviation, and humiliation. Indeed, Imam al-Hussein fights against such vices.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
Now, what lessons from Karbala can we learn? Support the truth. Dear brothers and sisters, Imam al-Hussein announced, "Don't you see that truth has been replaced by falsehood? We must be prepared to sacrifice everything that is precious in support of truth. We must be prepared to sacrifice everything that is precious to support of truth. Truth is the essence of Islam and fortifies the values emphasized in the Holy Quran. Hazrat Ali Akbar asked his father, are we not on the right path? The Imam replied, in the affirmative. Hazrat Ali Akbar then said, "Then it makes no difference if death comes to us or if we approach death."
Crying, my dear brothers and sisters, and shedding tears has many advantages for us human beings. But unfortunately, many of us have a negative outlook towards crying, in that many of us, we see crying as a weakness, and we associate crying with someone that is powerless. If they are not able to overcome their problems, then they resort to crying, and thus it's a weakness, and especially in men. And that's why you find that many men are ashamed to cry. For them, to cry is a weakness. If I'm a man, I have to be strong, and I should never shed a tear. And unfortunately, we teach this to our children. Sometimes we tell them, for example, be brave, don't cry. As if a quality of being brave is to not cry. And like I said, you find this more often with men. And that's why it's estimated that on average, men or women cry 5 times as much as men. Now, when we come to science, to medicine, and religion, we find both, they consider this as a misconception, and they refute this misconception. Because when you come to medicine and science, you find that they have a positive look towards crying, and that crying could be very good for the human being, psychologically, emotionally, and likewise physically. Physically, there are many benefits to crying. And I'm sure if you ask the experts, they will tell you more about this. At least 3 benefits there are to crying and shedding tears. Number one is that when we cry, we release the tension and the stress that's within us. And many times, the stress and tension can lead to problems, can lead to complications, health complications later on in life. So when we cry, we are releasing this tension and stress. This is number one. Number two, when we cry, do not think that this is just some salty water coming out of your eyes. No. And that's why researchers state that when you cry with your tears, there are toxins. There's an excess amount of chemicals that come out with the tears. They're considered waste and toxins. The more you cry, the more they come out. This is number two. And number three, researchers state that crying, when we cry and shed tears, this increases our body's ability to heal.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein, and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam, listeners, and let us ponder on some important points taught to us by the Prophet of Islam, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, for our salvation. No foot of a person will move on Judgment Day before being asked about four things: his years and how he spent them, his body and how he used it, his wealth and how he earned and spent it, and about his love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is spoken about many times in the Holy Quran is a being that is known as Iblis, Shaytan, and so on and so forth. This is a being that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a creature who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, for many years. And this tradition will explain that further. And it is important for us to realize that this is not just a metaphorical thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Holy Quran. No. according to some of the insightful scholars, it is something real. The Holy Quran has an entire surah or a chapter called the Surah Al-Jinn. Iblis or Shaitan is the head of the evil jinns. This is a very brief and basic explanation of who Shaitan is. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, in one of his sermons, speaks about Shaitan and incites us and, you know, admonishes the people and obviously us to take lessons from Shaitan. Obviously, the lessons from Shaitan we can take are many. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says the following. So take a lesson from how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with Iblis. When he thwarted his great works and his extensive efforts, and he had been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6,000 years, each hour of which was so long that it is not known whether they were years by the reckoning of this world or the next. Now this is important, that some of the scholars and, you know, the narrators, or rather the commentators on Nahj al-Balagha, say that no, the Imam obviously knew, but obviously because the people he's speaking to, we cannot explain it to them, the difference between the time of this world and the next world, and there not being any time, and what is the difference. So he just mentioned it like this in order for them to understand that no, it was a very long time, because all we understand is our own time, this time that we are in, this time frame. So what is the lesson here? That at any moment in time, right, we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so long. But if at one particular time we decide to change and to worship ourselves, and that we have a better opinion than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that we did previously will be erased. Everything will come to nothing. Not only that, it is possible for us to become the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. May Allah protect us from doing such. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to protect us, to assist us, and to become of the friends of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and therefore the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio on the blessed days of Ramadan, month of Allah. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Rabbi Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners who are listening to Let's Recite the Quran. I'm really glad to be with you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you know, Ramadan is the spring of Quran. And during Ramadan, almost all Muslims try to recite the Noble Quran, and I try to finish recitation of at least one juz every day. There's a narration from Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam that says, recitation of one verse is equal to the recitation of the whole Quran. And of course, listening to the Quran recitation has got a lot of rewards. In the program Let's Recite the Quran, each day we are going to listen to recitation of a few verses of a specific juz. But before it, we are going to talk a little about the surahs and chapters included in that juz and the rewards of those who recite those surahs. After recitation, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation as well as the recited verses. Besides these segments, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So dear audience, stay tuned. Dear audience, today on the 13th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we are going to listen to the recitation of a few verses of Surah Ar-Ra'd, which is in Juz 13 of the Noble Quran. There are three surahs in Juz 13 of the Noble Quran, which only one of them is not complete. It includes the second part of Surah to Yusuf, from verse 53 to its end, that is verse 111, all verses of Surah Ar-Ra'd, the 13th surah of the Noble Quran, as well as all verses of Surah to Ibrahim, which has got 52 verses. In a previous episode, we talked about Surah to Yusuf, that is Ahsan al-Qasas, or the best of stories, and now Surah Ar-Ra'd. As I said, Surah Ar-Ra'd is the 13th surah of the Noble Quran, and its name comes from the word Ra'd, or thunderstorm, which appears in the 13th verse. It has 43 verses, and it was revealed in Medina. The content of the surah includes monotheism, God's power, truth of the Quran, prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Ma'ad or resurrection, and the features of heaven and the hell. The third surah which appears in Juz 13 is Surah to Ibrahim, and it was revealed in Mecca. It is called Ibrahim because it involves the stories and supplications of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The main topics of this surah is description of the Day of Judgment and the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and building Kaaba by him. It also includes the story of Prophet Moses and Bani Israel, as well as the story of Prophet Nuh and the people of Ad and Thamud.
Okay, Brother Mahdi, there are a lot of reward for reciting this surah, Surah Ar-Ra'd. In the narrations from our imams, we have from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we have several narrations where Imam Sadiq has said this. Imam Sadiq said, whoever recites Surah Ar-Ra'd a lot, okay, continuously recites Surah Ar-Ra'd, for example, he recites it every day, that person will never be hit by a thunder. And even if he is the worst of human beings, however, if he has faith in Allah, okay, he's a Muslim and a believer, Allah will make him enter heaven without accounting his deeds. And he is able to intercede on behalf of his brothers and sisters in faith. And we have a narration from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his progeny, who said that whoever recites this surah, that is Surah Ar-Ra'd, he will be made from among those who fulfill their promise to Allah, and they will be given a reward which is 10 times the number of sins they have committed.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And now, dear audience, it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 10 to 13 of Surah Ar-Ra'd in Juz 13 of the Noble Quran, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
It is the same to him concerning you, whether one conceals his speech or one publicizes it, and whether one is hidden by night or conspicuous among others by day. For each one are successive angels before and behind him who protect him by the decree of Allah. Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. And when Allah intends for a people ill, there is no repelling it, and there is not for them besides him any patron. It is he who shows you lightning, causing fear and aspiration, and generates the heavy clouds. And the thunder exalts Allah with praise of him, and the angels as well from fear of him, and he sends thunderbolts and strikes therewith whom he wills while they dispute about Allah, and he is severe in assault.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سواء منكم من أسر القول ومن جهر به ومن هو مستخف بالليل وسارب بالنهار له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم وإذا أراد الله بقوم سوء فلا مرد له وما لهم من دونه من وال هو الذي يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينشئ السحاب الثقال ويسبح الرعد بحمده والملائكة من خيفته ويرسل الصواعق فيصيب بها من يشاء وهو شديد المحال.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 10 to 13 of Surah Ar-Ra'd in Juz 13 of the Noble Quran. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This recitation was by Sheikh Muhammad Jibril. It was a very nice recitation. He observes the rules of tajweed very well. Sawa'un. We have a matul muttasil here, which this reciter lengthens to four vowel counts, approximately. Minkum. These verses have a lot of rules of nun sakina. Here we have ikhfa. Minkum. The nun sakina is pronounced while, actually, it's not pronounced from its original place of articulation. What you're supposed to do is that you have to make the articulator of kaf, for pronouncing kaf, touch the place of articulation of this letter, and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts.
It is a thin back of the tongue and the soft palate.
Yes, that's right. Man asarra. Now this is another rule of nun sakina, which is ilhar of nun sakina, which means that you have to pronounce the nun completely from its original place of articulation. Okay, so we don't have ghunna, we don't have ikhfa, we don't have iqlab. We have a full pronunciation of nun sakina. Man asarra. Man asarra. Without pausing too much on the nun,
mm-hmm.
or changing the place of articulation of nun. وَمَنْ جَهَرَ. This is another ikhfa. In the previous ikhfa, we said that we have to place the articulator in the place of articulation of kaf, because it was kaf. Only for kaf and qaf you're allowed to do this. Okay, that's
yes,
because most reciters do this. We don't have a written rule that you have to place the tongue in the place of articulation of kaf and qaf whenever there's ikhfa. But because the majority of reciters do this, it's been allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you can also do the other way, the normal way. You could say minkum. You can approximate the place of articulation
of
kaf or qaf. For qaf, it's easier. For kaf, it's a little difficult. Here, we have to approximate the place of articulation of jim. We're not allowed to place the tongue in the place of articulation of jim. وَمَنْ جَهَرَ, which is the middle of the tongue and the hard palate. وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ. We had all of the rules of Nun Sakina in this verse. This is iqlab of Nun Sakina, because there is a ba after the Nun Sakina. When this happens, you have to pronounce the Nun Sakina like a meme which has ikhfa.
Yes.
Not just a normal meme with ilhar, but a meme with ikhfa. Mustakhfim bil-layli. Wasaribun bin-nahar. Another iqlab. We have two iqlabs in this verse.
The Nun Sakina of Tanween changes into a meme with ikhfa.
Yes, and we have another one in the next verse. Mimbaini. Okay, in the word Amrillah, we had Tarqiq of Ra and also Lam of the name of Allah. Amrillah.
They should be pronounced with an empty mouth.
With an empty mouth, yes. And with the tongue being downward, yes, not upward.
With thinness.
Yes. لا يغير. غين is pronounced with the uvula.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the root of the tongue. It's a fricative. It's a weak fricative. It's a letter of rahawa. So the timing
and it's voiced.
Is in, yes, it's voiced. If it's voiceless, it would be kha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have the sign of qali in the phrase bi anfusihim, which means stopping is preferable to continuation.
That is waqf awla, I think.
Yes, that's right. And most reciters, they stop on qali. We had another qali on the word Allah, min amrillah, and this is the second one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I hope that you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please don't forget to pray for us during the blessed hours of Ramadan. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tahbisu al-du'a. Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tunzilu al-bala. Allahumma ghafir li kull dhanb adhnabtu wa kull khatiyatin akhtaituha. Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsik.
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about this phrase of the supplication. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a. O Allah, forgive me the sins which hold back supplication. In this regard, we had a narration from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam considering seven sins which prevent the acceptance of supplications by the Almighty Allah. The first and second ones were bad intentions and hidden vices. Now, we are going to talk about the third one that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam mentions, hypocrisy with religious brothers. So, this hypocrisy we're talking about is in worship and good deeds in order to gain people's attention. And this hypocrisy is unlawful and subjected to Almighty Allah's wrath. The Holy Quran has announced hatred towards some of those who pray hypocritically by saying, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ سَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. So woe to the praying ones who are unmindful of their prayers, who do good to be seen, and they withhold the necessaries of life. In one tradition, we read that someone once asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can we reach salvation? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, you should avoid saying prayers for attracting people's attention. It is narrated that when someone is killed in holy war, another gives his wealth away for Allah, and a third one recites Quran. Almighty Allah calls on them, you lied during the holy war because you wanted others to say that you were brave. You lied in your almsgiving for you wanted people to think you were very generous. And you lied in reciting the holy Quran because you wanted to be known by others as the readers of Quran. The Prophet ﷺ then continues saying, such people are not rewarded and their hypocrisy wipes away their deeds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنَّ هَذَا لَمْ يُرِدْنِي بِعَمَلِي فَاجْعَلُوهُ فِي سِجِّينَ. A tradition from the Prophet of Islam says that the glorious Allah tells the angels, this person has not done his deeds for me, so take him to the hell. إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ الرِّيَاءُ. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us. He is warning the believers. The scariest thing for you is the minor idolatry, or showing yourself off.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope.
Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you, begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
He further said, إن الله لا يقبل عملا فيه ذرة من رياء. Allah would not accept any deed in which there is even a small piece of showing off. One of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ says, I saw the Prophet crying and I asked him the reason. He ﷺ said, I am scared of my nation's hypocrisy. They would not worship stone idols, the sun or the moon, but they are hypocrites in what they do. The Prophet ﷺ is explicitly referring to this riya and showing off, which is one part or one aspect of hypocrisy. So, the reason why this hypocrisy is accounted as one of the worst sins, and the Almighty Allah says that He will not accept the prayers of such a person, is clear. Because when the person is doing such and such, and he is not considering, or better say, he is considering someone or something other than the Almighty Allah. Not the fact that he is neglecting the Almighty Allah, no. Maybe he is somehow taking Almighty Allah's will and wish into consideration. He wants to do the act, and he wants to have the deed in accordance with what the Almighty Allah has said. But he is also looking for other things, like the people's attention, like being known by the others as a brave one. And these are the reasons that he is not really careful that the Almighty Allah is present. He is at the presence of his Lord, and he has to take only his wish into his consideration. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. And I have a good friend, academic and Islamic scholar, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, to join me to discuss his life and times. Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, salam, and welcome to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, we're going to discuss wealth disparity according to how